good evening. Welcome to Reaching Out again, as Johnny just mentioned. So this month, we have been inviting four different organizations to come to share how they are doing God's work in different parts of the world and how we can be a part of God's mission in the world as well. So last week, if you are here, we have a speaker from Calgary all the way to share about Life Water Canada. Today, we have a speaker from Richmond, not another part of Canada. Pastor Lisa, she also brings the team actually to come as well. She is from Wilgo, Canada, and this ministry, this slide here, is originated from USA, and Pastor Lisa has joined the team since 2012 already. And currently, they have ministry in different parts of the world, like in Africa, in Cuba, and also locally in Vancouver as well. So without further delay, I would like to invite Pastor Lisa and Brian, which is also one of the team members, to come and share. Okay.
Hi, good afternoon, Koinonia Evangelical Church, KEC Church. Thank you so much for inviting us to share today. Our team, thank you, Pastor Gabriel. Today, I brought my whole family, my whole gangs. My husband, Cam, at the back, and then he'll be manning the booth. And then this is my son, Brian. So I'm going to share with you We are originally from Hong Kong. Me and my husband work a commercial job. Back in 2006, which is many, many years ago, and actually it's the year that your church was established. It's the same year, 19 years ago. The Lord just called us to come back to Vancouver. We have family here. But we do not know what is in front of us. He just say, you know, he show us Vancouver, this is where you have to move. And in 4 months time from Hong Kong, we just quit our job and we pack our bags with boxes, ship over, and we are in Vancouver, Richmond. So just like the text that we are going to explore today, in Numbers chapter 13, verse 17 to 18. This is when Moses sent the 12 spies. They are the leaders of the 12 tribes to explore the land of Canaan, which is the promised land. So what God promised have given to the Israelites. He say, go up through the Negev. Negev is actually the desert. First of all, you have to go through the desert. And then on into the Hugh Mountain. So you have to climb through some mountains as well. Okay, then you explore, see the land, what is it like? Whether the people live there are strong or weak or few or many. So this is like our story. When we come, we do not know what is ahead of us. We need to explore this land. Maybe I'll let Brian share a bit how we first arrived.
Well, thank you so much for welcoming us into your space. My name is Brian, and what I can say is, without giving too much about my own age, all I can say is in 2006, I was probably at around 10 years old. So maybe not this tall, probably closer to this tall. And I just want to share just a moment that I saw God's love and sort of faithfulness that came through from my parents. As you may all know, as she described, right, they came from Hong Kong, where it's high-driven, high-motivation, bunch of things happening, everything is happening 24/7 type of space. My parents have always worked their day jobs and always came home late, but always loved me. So I want to put that out there first, okay? As a 10-year-old kid who only really knew Pokemon, Beyblades, Yo-Yo, whatever was the trend at that moment, that step, when they first told me that we were going to come to Vancouver, I said, okay, are you gonna keep working at the bank? Is dad still gonna do his usual job? And that was the first time where they have told me, to my face, I don't know. Wherever God leads. And I said, wait, really? You're not going to tell me you're going to work 5 days a week, 6 days a week? Nope. And I don't know what's going to happen. And I think from that moment, I knew, even as a 10-year-old, that my mom and my dad love God more than what they cared for, what they seen. And it's from that small seed of faithfulness that I can really see how it grew and grew and grew. And it changed me as a witness towards their journey and Will Gold's journey in Vancouver. And this is not to glorify them. They're not perfect. But I would like to say that even from their imperfections that I really see God's grace really seep through. And that comes from the moments where they were praying for people, handing out sandwiches in downtown Eastside, whether it is from moments where we went to Bella Coola, into a First Nation land, and be able to share God's love with them, just share joy, share the spirit of hope and love, right? The love and the God that we see. And just from those moments, I knew that small mustard seed of faith into the promised land that is unknown as to what that looks like. That's how I knew that God was with us. And that's how I grew my faith. So I'm going to pass this back on to my mom as she continues to share a bit about, you know, the word.
Well, we begin by joining WillGo as a volunteer. Okay, when we first arrived in Vancouver. And actually, the founder of WillGo Ministry is Pastor Larry and Jean. Larry is a farmer from Iowa. And the farmer in the U.S., he manages 600 hectares of land. Okay, not a small piece of land. And Jean, she's a registered nurse. However, the Lord have called them. Before they come to Vancouver, they actually do not know anybody in Vancouver, but the Lord told them to come, which they are being obedient. Before that, they actually were missionary in China, Beijing, for 10 years. So they know Chinese people, and they speak Mandarin as well. So the Lord just somehow opened doors. When I was serving at a U.S. Theology school, they allowed me to study why I serve for free. So in exchange of my service, I will also be able to be part of the study, so I complete my theology degree that way. So I've never dreamed that I will, you know, do theology and then will become a pastor. So several years ago, our founders, they are now in their 80s, so they passed the baton to us. So let's see, okay, this is the homeless outreach photo. What do you see? What do you see? So there are 10 spices. When they go and spice the land of Canaan, the promised land, they come back with a bad report. They say, no, 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 no. We cannot go into the land. The people there are like giant. Do you know what? Giant, very tall. And we are, to us, we seems like grasshopper. Do you know how large is a grasshopper? Small, right? So they see themselves in their own eyes, they are like a grasshopper. And they said that even the people will see us that way. So these 10 spies, they focus the promised land, not on the promise, but they focus on the giant, the difficulties, the challenges, and then they also focus on themselves. How small I am. I'm so helpless. I will be stepped by the giant. So we can either choose to focus on that. So when we look at the homeless outreach in the downtown Eastside, actually the physical situation have deteriorated so much since we started serving there 19 years ago. We continuously, every month, usually third Saturday of the month at 3 o'clock, we will be there and we reach out to the people. But this is last month. The guy on the left, his name is Robert. Robert, this is just in July. Our volunteers invite him for prayer and he accepted it. And then volunteers share Jesus is the Savior. He accepted it. But he had one request. He said, I want to feel the presence, the substance, the physical presence of God. So what can we do? We can only pray with him, which we did. After prayer, we just pray, Lord, Robert wants to sense your physical presence. Oh, Lord, just reveal yourself to him. Be real to him. So after prayer, Robert was very happy. He was very excited. He said, I feel like a warmth, a sense of warmth. It's God's love flowing through my body. Wow. So he actually left that place very excited, as if he has obtained something so precious. So we won't show his face. We usually just take photo of their back. And then on the right side, there's these two, they're actually Indian men. The one in black, when I share with him Jesus is the Savior, he forgives all our sins, and then he say, you say the same thing as my grandma and my father. So we know that he actually come from a Christian family, right? So somebody in his family have already told him about Jesus. We do not know what happened to him, why he became homeless and waiting, lying up for the shelter. But we know God never stopped reaching out to him. And the other gentleman in the light blue shirt, he just keeps saying, I'm very sorry, I'm very sorry, I'm very sorry. I do not know what he's referring to, but I can only share with him and say, like, well, do you know there is a God that sent his only begotten son? And whatever we have done wrong, it's okay. He forgives all what we have done wrong. And he will be welcoming us back like a father opening his arms. That is how God will embrace you. I just love that pull-up banner, that photo of the prodigal son and the father. So exactly I'm trying to explain that to him. And do you know, there are tears rolling down his eyes. I know the Holy Spirit have touched him. So each was given a Promise of God booklet. We just pray with them, and we hope that the Word of God, the promise of God, will drive them to seek more and that they will have an abundant life. So we are actually in the big, great season of harvest at downtown Eastside. Last December, in 1 hour of outreach, we have 5 people received the Lord. We have never had that experience in 1 hour. In 1 hour. So that is amazing. So maybe we can be like Caleb and Joshua. So they are among the two, spies that also go and explore the land. But when they hear the bad report from the 10 spies, they torn their clothes and they say to the entire Israeli assembly, say, the land we pass through and explore is actually exceedingly good. Exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will definitely lead us into that land, a land that flows with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. So Caleb and Joshua focus on the promise of God. Their concern, their only concern is and which should be our concern, is how are we going to please the Lord? Because if the Lord is pleased with us, He will give us the land. He will lead us into our promise, the promise that He has for us. And the Bible says, without faith, we are not able to please the Lord. So what should be our posture? Let us learn from Caleb. Caleb said, but only because the Israelites, they were grumbling. They were saying, that place is too dangerous. God, you are asking us to songsay. Like, you know, you're asking us to lose our life there. We are just like grasshopper. They are those giants. And but do you know what Joshua say? Please, please, please do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land. Joshua, he has a posture. The posture is fear God. And not to fear the enemy or circumstances. Our fear should always be towards God. A reverent fear of God and be obedient when He asks us to move or to go. Because by not doing that, we are actually walking in disobedience. So let me share about our Will Goes Ministry DNA since Pastor Larry and Jean, they started. We have really seen this through their lives. They always start with prayer to seek God's heart. And then God will always show us what to do. So some people this morning have asked us, why do you choose to go to Liberia? Why do you choose to go to Cuba? No, it's not that we choose to go to those places, but we all prayed and the Lord opened doors and we go where God wants us to go. Secondly, our ministry is compassion-based. So our ministry is very much, in essence, is a compassion ministry. So we try to serve the poor, the helpless, and those that are underprivileged, because we know love never fails. And the third thing, we focus on building up long-term relationships, whether it's ministry partners or the people that we minister. For example, when we go to Liberia, we go there for 15 years. We work with the same partners. We work with the same group of people. And out of there, God will expand and multiply and to organic go to other places. But even on overseas trip, missions trip, we always go to the same place every year. Not a lot, like we are, I think this is quite unique of Will Go. And because we want to build long-term relationship with people. And we believe that all can come to encounter God. Do you know when you go to an outreach? You are not there just to serve the people. But a lot of time, ourselves encounter God. And then that's what really changed lives. Our mission statement is we will go through the world proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people, training disciples to do the work of the ministry so they will go. So our name is called Will Go. We will go. So as our founder, we learn from them. They just seek the Lord, and then they will go to different places. So it's an amazing thing, and it's such a beautiful thing to the Lord when the Lord see ministry, churches working together for His kingdom. So we so appreciate your church, your family, which is also such an outreach mission-focused church, working with various local or overseas nonprofit organizations, even public institutions like Richmond Hospital during the time of COVID, and I noticed that. And you are making an impact, being the light in the society. So we thank you for partnering with us. So where we go overseas. So overseas, we go to two places. One is Liberia, West Africa, and Cuba. So what do we see in Liberia? Okay, I'm going to share with you some background Liberia information. The GDP in Liberia per capita is $900. According to UN, the least developed country, the average GDP is $1,325. So they are almost 50% less than the average. The second thing, when that is poverty, what happens, and which is quite common across the board, then you will see, because of poverty, the parents have no choice but to have their children, especially girls, to sell their physical body to earn a living. So you will see prostitutions very common, trafficking very common. So education is the only way to give them an opportunity to change life. And also food. Do you know that providing a meal to the student in the elementary school will encourage the parents to send the kids to school? Because at least they can be fed. So they will send the kids to school just because there is a meal. So that's what we do in Liberia. So the photo on the left, you will see those. We have a ministry school in Liberia. So those are our teachers. And the guy that is in blue, red, white stripes, he is Pastor Nelson Kwei. He is the principal of our ministry school. We use a U.S. Bible school curriculum, and we now have 11 ministry teachers, and they are all pastor, they all have their own church, and they all have their own elementary school inside the church. So because of that, we are able to work with also the teachers. You see them on the photo, they are pointing, that's the cornerstone. That is 2 years ago when we were there. That's the cornerstone, and you see the picture on the very right, there is already a building. So this few months ago, the building is almost finished. The paint is not on yet, but this is a place, because this location is called Shortang. It's a community of 500 to 600 people. There is no place of worship. There is no walkable school. And there are a bunch of kids. So this September, we are going to start an elementary school inside the building. Like church building, you use church for Sunday, but you can also use it during regular days for school. So this is Nathaniel. Nathaniel, he's actually our first batch of bachelor student graduates. He is now called to serve as missionary in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone have suffered a lot of internal wars, so the country is very, very devastated. So the middle is her daughter. Actually, Nathaniel used to be a worship leader in the church, and now the daughter is a worship leader of the same church. Just imagine a few years later, she can go through the ministry school program and be equipped and be able to fulfill God's calling for her own life. Next, this is Janet. Janet on the left, she's holding a mic. She's actually sharing a worship song in one of our meeting. You see Janet, he's kneeling down like this, right? It's not because she's performing or anything. She's born with natural immobility in her legs, and you can see her hands as well. So not only that, she is a orphan. Both her parents died of Ebola disease, but she's very bright and smart. So She actually studied in one of our ministry teachers' elementary school. But 4 years ago, that teacher, the Lord have called him back to heaven. So the pastor's wife say, I'm not able to continue this school if there is no external help. So we began to sponsor the elementary teacher's salary, which is only $25 per month for one teacher. And by doing that, the school continues. Janet, you see the photo on the right, she promoted to junior high school last year. So this will be her second year. So that's, we thank the Lord for the provision. What do we see in Cuba? Cuba, maybe you think about the resort, but it's a very devastating situation there. They are extremely lack of resources. There is no basic medication available. And electricity supply, our last trip last month in July, only 50% of the time. They give you 3 hours of electricity, they stop for 3 hours, then they give you 3 hours again, and they stop for 3 hours. But the church there, they are very, very on fire for God. They have big vision and hunger for the Lord. We visited Cuba 7 years ago, and now the church there, they have more people wanting to go to church than the space allow. It is really amazing. So this is the start of Bethlehem Church. It's a two-hour ride from the Hogan Airport. This church have a vision. You see all these children. They have a school, a Bible school, not for adults, but a Bible school for kids. And they are training up, discipling the kids to run the whole Sunday worship service, from worship to prayer, from preaching. So just imagine that. And the next one, this is the granddaughter in the middle, and you have two grandmothers. So last March, they came crying, the grandmothers, because the granddaughters was hospitalized of a brain tumor. A few weeks ago when we were there, they were there in front of probably 300. We have a multi-church meeting, 300 people. They testify, the doctor confirmed that the tumor is gone. It's only by prayer. So when they come in March, so they have this need. So we begin to just worship with them. We begin to pray and intercede for them until the Lord show us. The Lord actually show us that he is with us. And until the Lord show us, the Satan have left the village. God is doing signs and wonder. This is Barakoa. It's a new area that we just went in July. I would call this a new Canaan land. This place was hit by hurricane last November. And so when we were at the pastor home, they also organized another 25 pastors to be there. One of the pastors shared with us, before they know that we are coming, what happened is, the Lord have already spoke to him that there will be 7 people coming with 2 luggages of supplies. Exactly. Me and my husband, and we have a family with a teenager, 3 people from Windsor, Ontario, 5, and then we have a local pastor, George, who brought us there, 6, and we have our translator, Elizabeth, 7. Exactly 7 people. We originally have 3 suitcases, but we organized it because the car have no space for all our stuff, so we organized it into 2 suitcases. So you can see, God already know it all. All we need to do is just to finish his assignment. So what is important for us is to find out what is his assignment for us. And we enjoy such a wonderful time of worship and encouragement with one another. So we can come and just be like Joshua and Caleb to testify to you. The land that we explore, the land that God showed us, is exceedingly good. The darker the place, the greater is his light. So it is so amazing. So when Joshua, when he knows that he's about to go to heaven to be with the Lord, he said this word in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart, he was speaking to all the Israelites, and so that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Not one has failed. So let us reflect on what have we been focusing on? Have we been just focusing on the giant or the mountain in front of us? Or even have we been focusing on ourselves and think how like a little grasshopper we are, you know, easily being defeated? Or we focus on God's promise and we choose to be obedient and walk in that promise? So apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. That is John chapter 15 and 5. So all we do is possible because of Jesus Christ. And the question is how to please God. Are you pleasing to God? How I can please God more? But with him, we can do all things. Philippians 4, 13. So I long to see every one of us walk into the fullness of God's promise for our lives. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this time that we can gather together. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just may you remind us your promises for each one of us. May you remind us what promises that you want us to step into, what promised land that you have prepared for us, that our fear that we did not dare to step in. Teach us to fear you and not to fear the circumstances. Thank you, Lord. May you speak to each one of my brothers and sisters here and to encourage them. In Jesus' name we pray.